Okay. Or is the chair, sir?
Yes. Go ahead, Dave.
And point of order, Dave?
I want to remind everybody that our policy on directors asking for legal information allows any three directors to ask this formally, and they can make sure of it. I just don't think we should take the group's time. I think everything is clear about what we need and when. What was your point of information, Wendy?
I was calling it a point of order, but I don't know if it is. I mean, I'm not sure where we're at with the rest of the Finance Committee motions now. I would move approval of the remaining motions that were in the report.
I don't believe there were any motions that were before us. LaVon said that the one other motion she articulated was one that is being considered for future. For the future by the committee. Am I right in that, LaVon?
I'm looking at my report right now. I think that's really the one that was for future consideration, right?
Right. That's what my understanding of it.
Okay.
If we're wrong, we can come back and look at it later. The next thing is the 5 minutes, the Personnel Committee report. Who's presenting that?
Lydia. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, again, I apologize for not giving a written report to the board in a timely manner, but you'll get one in the next couple of days. You need the whole committee to approve it, in my opinion. And it'll mostly consist of nuts and bolts processes, everything from opening the envelopes to putting the numbers on and so forth. So not worthy of reporting out at this time. However, the only thing that I would like to see, if there's any objection to, including there were two evaluations that were received a day late, and we can either tabulate them separately, but since there's only two, I'm not recommending that, or just include them in the tabulation with the other. There were a total of 55 forms received, and given what mail is and so forth, I think it would be a good idea. And so unless anyone has any objection to that, we'd like to include that in the tabulation.
Wendy.
Hold on. I want to clarify. Are you saying the committee made a motion specifying that the board adopt?
We didn't have a formal motion, but we all. There's consensus on everything in our report. There's no dissension on anything that we did at our board meeting. The point is that the deadline was on a Friday, and the forms may have arrived on a Saturday, except we don't receive mail on that day. And so on Monday, the mail was delivered, and there were two forms that came in late. Given all of the obstacles to the extensions and so forth, Yolanda was in New York and didn't have her email distribution list of everything. You saw everybody on the board followed the delays, that I thought we did pretty well to only have two that were late. And I also think that we did well in receiving 55 forms. But anyway, so we can do this. They will be, you know, we are going to tabulate them regardless. We can either tabulate those two forms separately.
You mean bring anything, Bob? Hold on.
And identify them as having.
Hold on.
This is Greg, who just returned.
The motion should specify what you want to happen.
I'm not asking for a motion first. I was just seeing if there was any objection to including the two late forms for the tabulation. If there is an objection, we'll do them separately. It's not. And you will recall, Dave, you're the one who said we didn't have to have motions on everything that the committee was doing, but that the committee would decide on a process. And this was just the only issue out of everything that we agreed on in the committee to do that I was wondering if there was an objection. We'll simply tabulate it separately.
Wendy?
Yes, I did. Lydia, you said they were 2 days late?
No, two forms, 1 day late.
1 day late. And out of how many?
Out of 55 that were received.
50 others. So I move that those two forms be included and counted.
Is the point of information able to make a motion?
No. Well, okay. I can come back later. No problem.
I'd like to be on the stack, please.
Yes. Our two corporate, our two counsel are going to join our call momentarily, as requested by Bob.
Thank you, Wendy.
In talking about evaluations received after the deadline, I'd like to remind everybody that the deadline was extended twice, and conceivably with all the evaluation forms we sent out, it's not just two that were late, it's 100 or 200 or whatever. So I would be against accepting any evaluations after the deadline that was extended twice. But I would also like to say that I listened to the personnel committee meeting this week, and there's a few things that are disturbing in this whole process besides the fact that the process isn't very good in the first place. But, you know, when you give out instructions and you ask people to check whatever they are, PNB member, LSB member, and then you say, well, and we were thinking about having PNB be worth more than LSB, and then people don't check which box, you know, and then, oh, well, we'll just tabulate them separately, and then maybe we'll just tabulate these late ones separately. I agree that the information is good, but there's probably a whole bunch of other people that would still like to get them in if we're going to keep extending. So I'm against that. But the real issue that I have is listening to the committee talking about how the PNB would not be allowed to see any of this information until they were all put on paper and photocopied and passed out at the meeting in D.C., where the PNB receives confidential information every day by email. And I think what the committee members were thinking is, you know, we do these evaluations and we do them as LSB members, and I actually have an issue with that, too, but our LSB does this, too, where they don't let you see any confidential information until it's on a piece of paper, and then you all sit around in a group together and read the stuff. I think that this is ill-conceived, and I'm asking the PNB to vote against this. We need to see the information in enough time to be able to digest it. We can't all sit around and have a reading party in D.C. We need to get this information out ahead of time, and that's one of the main concerns that I had listening to that meeting. I have other ones, and I don't understand what we're going to hear in the report in a few days, but I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I could cover that. I can
say,
excuse me. You have to be recognized. I'm ruling the motion out of order because it refers to a motion that's not before us yet.
Well, so I'm telling the PNB, I'm giving you the heads up that this is what is being considered, that you not be allowed to see the information that's back from the evaluation.
Thank you. Thank you.
May I respond?
We are at time for the item. And therefore,
okay. Sorry, I didn't think anyone. Okay.
Mary Bird moves to extend 5 minutes.
5 minutes of extension of time? Is there any objection?
Yeah, I think it should be 10 then. I had no idea.
Right.
Should it have?
Is there an objection to 10 minutes?
No.
Hearing none, we'll go ahead. I want to remind the board our attorneys are now on our clock. Go ahead.
Are they on our call?
Yeah. Well, one is. John Krigler here.
Okay, good.
Is Dan here? Because this is... Well, okay.
You will be.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, this is... May I respond?
Go ahead.
To Wendy's concerns. Okay. So the point was that Pacifica being what it is, and because there are always emotions that are heightened and expectations with relation to evaluations, and we don't know what are the in the evaluations, if we could be 100% sure that the evaluations are all flattering information, there would be no problem in disseminating by email. But because personnel is usually what we have been sued around, and statements that can be disseminated online or publicly could conceivably be a right to privacy. This is not confidential information like finance information. This is a person's right to privacy. And Dan has stressed over and over to us what California's law is around the right to privacy.
I'm going to have to cut you off because this is not relevant to a motion that is before us. You asked the question about whether there was general consent.
And I didn't make a motion. I thought you said they didn't have a motion.
That's correct. Somebody said they objected, so you got the response. The rest of this discussion is something that should be taken up when we have a motion before us on that point. A business meeting is not a discussion session.
No, all I did was ask if I could respond. The chair said yes. So if you don't want me to respond, I won't. But in terms of the two, it is not an issue to include it in the entire report. We could still tabulate them separately. That is the question. It's not whether to include them or not include them. It's whether to include them in the general with the 55 in total or to tabulate them separately.
Okay. In the interest of time, can I find out from the board, is there an objection to the inclusion of the late ballots in the bulk?
This is Wendy.
Wendy already objected.
Yes, I objected.
Okay.
I moved to postpone this entire item until the meeting on the 6th. Can we do that?
Well, the only problem is that
excuse me. I think we just got our answer, so I'm hoping that we could just move the agenda.
Well, no, we didn't get our answer. Is that the point is we're in the process of tabulating the information, and so are we going to ask Bertold, who's doing the actual tabulation, to do it separately or to do it together? It's a very simple question. And we can say no or we can say yes, but let's just get an answer because we don't want to hold up the whole report or his reporting mechanism.
Sandra, to remind you said that Lydia said if there was any objection, they would tabulate it separately.
Yes, okay.
There was an objection.
They also have
tabulated separately, that's fine. That's
so
fine.
What further is there to do?
That's true. That's fine. We'll go ahead and tabulate it separately.
Thank you.
And the ones that didn't sign their name.
They didn't sign their name.
They didn't put their name on the outside of the envelope.
You're out of order, Wendy. You're out of order.
Oh, that's correct.
Okay. Point of information?
Yes, Bertold.
Okay, Bertold. I'm going to plug this thing. Okay. I will tag these in the spreadsheet so that people can take them in or out as they please. So whatever you decide, whenever you decide, we will have the result for whatever it is you decide.
Great.
Okay,
David,
so
if I can add one.
It's a moot point to talk about it now.
Yes.
We'll have all the results, and I can almost guarantee you 2 out of 57 is not going to make much of a difference, and I don't see why we're discussing this right now.
Yes,
right.
Okay.
Thank you.
David, I have one more thing that's really important. If I could just say this. There were also several people that didn't put their name on the envelope, so you can't tell if they were even eligible to vote. Those should be separate as well.
We already decided that on the committee, and I forgot to mention that.
Thank you.
That's in the report.
I'm done.
Okay, the next thing on our agenda is the committee to investigate accusations of racism and sexism. They had a report. We've allotted 15 minutes to it. I'm hoping we can get through it more rapidly than that. There was one member who asked to be granted the right to ask a question. Go ahead, Lisa.
Mainly, I wanted to just, get into the habit of getting this committee on the agenda. As some of you may or may not know, and not to get into all of this, but there was a whole lot of, there was a battle to get this committee established for various reasons. I mean, issues were being raised and stuff like that. And so although it's a newly established committee, and although the motion was passed last year, we were not able to really do anything because of, you know, the issues and the things that were arising as to whether or not this committee should exist. I'm glad that the board decided that it should. We will be meeting Friday on, I think that was that the 30th, at 8:30 p.m., just a few of the discussions that we have had. I know that people have lots of questions, and we are very, very aware of that and are aware of the concerns. But some of the things we discussed is that there should be a code of conduct. We want to, you know, work on that and bring that before the board. We talked about the importance of training. You know, we talked about understanding, you know, what we are supposed to be doing, that we're not supposed to be getting into any personnel issues, but that primarily this deals with issues pertaining to the board. And but also, in addition to that, we talked about the importance, definitely the importance of transparency, of seeking counsel, foundation counsel. Hopefully that can happen, and also seeking the advice of HR. You know, we want to, and also looking at other models with some other institutions or organizations that have really done a lot of work around these kind of issues in terms of, you know, how to help get established. But we are forming, we are working, we know we have a lot of work to do, and we will certainly be meeting next Friday at 8:30 p.m., correct? Yes.
Thank you very much. Don, your question?
Thank you, Lisa, very much. You'll recall when this committee was established by the board, there were some issues around how it would function. And a couple of months ago, I put out two questions. I don't know if you remember this. I put out two questions. One is, how will people in the various signal areas know that this committee is functioning and that they have a right to have access to it? Will there be on-air announcements in every signal area that such a committee is functioning, and if people have issues of racism and sexism, that they can contact the committee? Will there be a limit on how far back issues will be dealt with? That is to say, is the committee going to start dealing with issues as of now, or are they going to go back? And do you have any idea how you would determine in what order such cases would be dealt with, for instance, possibly chronologically in the order that they were raised by people in the signal areas? These are some of the questions that some of us who were worried about the functioning of this committee, and if there is, let's say, someone raising an issue that they want investigated by your committee, is there a plan for your committee to fly to signal areas to take testimony, or how do you plan to accumulate the evidence that you need to invest? I know the idea of an investigation, how will such information be accumulated by the committee?
Just one correction. I just wanted to say, Don, it's not my committee. It's the Committee of Pacific Assembly.
Well, when I say your committee, no, I mean you're making a report.
I'm sorry. Lisa needs to speak, like, really more forcefully.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have a phone. I'm going to get a new phone. It's the phone.
Right, but that's okay. But if you could just speak more distinctly and more forceful into the phone.
Right, can you hear me? Is this better?
Is this
better?
Closer.
Is this better?
Yeah, no,
yeah,
a little
better.
Closer.
Do your best and breathe.
Better?
Not much better.
Okay. Now, I just want to say it. I mean, I understand what you're saying, Don, about the UR, but I just want to just be clear. It's not my committee, but the committee.
Oh, I'm aware of that.
Foundation,
yeah.
Right. You ask very, very good questions. We have not had a lot of extensive meetings or anything like that, and I'm not going to even try to pretend to say, okay, I have this neat answer, because these are things that we are researching. But what I would like to propose that you do, and I know I'm open to other people if they have questions about certain things. I know, Don, you and I have had conversations, and, you know, some very important, you know, questions were raised in terms of how it would function, what would be the mechanics of it. So I would like to suggest, if you don't mind, that you submit, you know, write those questions down again that you asked, because, you know, we are a new committee, and we know that this is a very, very important issue, a very serious issue. And we are seeking guidance in terms of how to operate, how it should be structured. So, I mean, I would like to recommend that you do that, but I don't have a specific answer for you tonight on that.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate your answer. Thank you.
Hang on. I'd like to add that the committee, none of those decisions of the committee bind until they're passed by the PMB. So
of course.
That's just, any of those issues will come to us.
This is Lydia.
And Wendy.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay, so one of the things, we discussed several of the things that Don raised, and at least came to some preliminary, you know, agreements on things. That, for example, if an issue were to come up at an LSB, there are directors that are on that LSB that would be able to also help facilitate an investigation. We do not envision flying all over the country. I have heard that so many times, and we keep saying to people that was never proposed by those of us that were interested in having this committee. And I suspect, although this was not a motion on the floor, that mostly in terms of the things that have happened in the past, something that isn't pending right now or brought to us formally, are mainly lessons learned from that. We did discuss trying to develop a code of conduct dealing with these issues so that people understand the potency and the damage incurred by language that is sometimes tossed aside and said thoughtlessly. We've all done it, myself included, and the need to be sensitive that, for example, if it's offending other PMB members, then we should refrain from doing it, or other LSB members, it should say to us something. A light should turn on and say, let's avoid using language that is offensive. It doesn't have to register with some logic that, oh, yes, that's an offensive phrase to me, but if it's offending someone else, it would just be common sense, but apparently it's not always true. So developing a code of conduct specific to these issues would be important. And, of course, as Lisa said, we plan to meet with corporate counsel at the Houston meeting during lunch or some such thing to get some advice on some of the other more technical issues of how to proceed should something arise, but we have nothing that has been brought to us at this point.
Wendy?
I just have two questions. Did you guys elect officers? Are you reporting as the chair, Lisa?
I was asked to be the chair.
Are you the chair?
Yes.
Okay. And the second question is, are these meetings being streamed like other Pacifica meetings?
They will be. I don't want to use the word meetings because the first time somebody was asked to convene this, but yes, the intention is that they will be streamed. But of course, if there's any cases where we're talking about a specific case, you know, that would be somewhat different in terms of executive session, but that is the objective.
The meeting on March 30th will be streamed.
It will be streamed. Exactly.
Okay, thanks.
In fact, they even wrote David something asking how to do that.
Great.
Yep, and we got the response. May we move our business to the issue that the attorney is on the line for, which is the motion on the FCC issues?
I hope so.
Thank you.
There's no objection. We'll move to that. Is it Bob who's presenting the
motion? I had asked.
Excuse me?
I had asked to speak. Is it?
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry, AC. Go ahead.
I mean, one of the things we did discuss was the fact that we wanted to meet with the attorney with doing the meeting, doing the gathering that...
Here
we can.
AC, you're cutting in and out, so we're only catching three words out of every four.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Better.
Okay.
We
intend to meet with, and I had spoken with Dan and also Yolanda to have a meeting with them when they come in on Thursday. Some guidelines for our work and some guidelines we should be concerned about. The question of streaming, like Lisa was saying, has a lot to do with whether or not the issue we're discussing has anything to do with personnel.
Thank you very much. All right. If there's nothing further, we'll move the agenda. Bob, are you presenting the motion?
Yes. But could I give just a quick background first?
Sure. And, Wendy, will you let me know in 10 minutes? We have 15 minutes for the item.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, thanks. Well, as everyone knows, the FCC in the last few years has been getting more aggressive in creating rules and enforcing them on what they deem as, quote-unquote, indecency, and quote-unquote profanity and quote-unquote obscenity as to radio and television. And then Congress has passed this law that makes the fines much, much greater than they were before. And so Pacifica finds itself in a position of having been in the past, in the 1970s, a leading player in challenging the kind of overextension of FCC authority into really the abridgment of free speech, as in the famous George Carlin case that was appealed, that the foundation appealed all the way to the Supreme Court and lost about the so-called 700 words. But Pacifica has always been a leader in this field, and I think now that the issue is coming back in a more forceful way, there's a lot of people throughout the network that are talking about the need for Pacifica to resume the kind of leadership role that we've had in the past, or at least, if not a leadership role, to have our voice heard both in the media and also in the courts and in the FCC as far as our position on the way their policy is being carried out and made. And this is independent of anything that may apply to Pacifica, but just as a general point of defense of free speech. So, with that said, I've drafted a motion that I'm very open to feedback and changes, especially based on the expertise of our FCC counsel, John Kriegler, who I'm very happy is on the line with us. So, my motion would be: resolved that the executive director shall arrange for Pacifica to file an amicus brief and or other form of intervention with parties that are challenging the FCC's, quote, indecency and or, quote, profanity policies, in which Pacifica would also challenge the arbitrary and unduly restrictive nature of FCC policy and rulings on these matters. That's the end of the motion, and just one footnote, which I'm sure John can tell us in much more detail, is that there is a major lawsuit working its way through the courts. It's now in the, I believe, the Second Federal Circuit Court of Appeals on this very point about what is the definition and the application of indecency and profanity, and it's interestingly against the major commercial television companies that are challenging FCC policy. So, but I guess I would just ask John to, you know, tell us where he thinks things are at in this area and what we might be able to do institutionally to challenge the policies.
John, is there a second to the motion so we can discuss it?
I second that.
John, go ahead.
Yeah.
And welcome. John, am I correct that you represented us in the Jerker case?
I did, and that was the first point I was going to make, that it wasn't just in the 70s that you were active in this area. It was really with respect to this whole expanded definition of indecency, both with respect to the specific case you were involved in, the Jerker, and with respect to the challenges to the whole concept of indecency through the constitutional challenges of the D.C. Circuit.
John, hang on a sec. Would people not speaking, and particularly those in noisy environments, please mute yourself with star 6?
Thank you.
We're getting a lot of noise, and it's hard to hear John. Go ahead.
Yeah. So you were active through the actually four appellate challenges of the indecency rules from 1987 till 1995. It's too late to get. There are two pending challenges, and the expectation is that we'll get rulings in those within probably the next month or so. Those are television cases. You're too late to intervene or file an amicus brief in those cases. One of them is the Janice Jackson case. The other one is a series of profanity cases, all involving television. There may be an opportunity after that. The commission has been holding off on a batch of radio rulings. And in fact, it's quite possible that, you know, complaints against Pacifica are part of that batch. But how they, so you may, you know, have a vehicle there whether you want it or not. But I expect that the FCC is not going to issue any radio rulings until these TV rulings, the challenges to them, have been made.
Thank you. Is there a discussion?
What information is Ray?
Wait, before we do that, so John, is what you're telling us that the motion as it's presently formed is actually moot?
Well, you would, I don't know if it's moot, but it's premature. You could certainly adopt it prospectively. I just don't think, I can't think of an immediate opportunity you have to do anything with respect to the pending cases.
Can I get on this back?
Ray
and Bob.
Okay, Lisa, then Ray, then Bob.
Okay. John, thank you very much for being on the call. I would like to know, could you please just give us a little bit more background for some of us who are not as up to date on this issue as we should be? I mean, the way I understand it, I know there are certain words and things that you cannot say, you know, that you're not supposed to say on the air and stuff like that. What is now, what is the thing now that the FCC is trying to do? How are they trying to, how will they be more limiting with what their proposals are?
Well, here's there's a long sort of history to this, but here's the short version. In the 1970s, in the Pacifica case, the commission was given by the courts, or the courts confirmed the FCC's authority to regulate something called indecent. And it was originally conceived, it was more or less limited to the seven words that George Carlin used in his comic monologue. And that was pretty much the definition for the next 10 years. The commission, primarily pressured by conservative religious groups, persuaded the commission to expand that definition to the definition we have now, which is really anything offensive that refers to sex or excretion. And that's the definition that people are wrestling with now. That definition, in turn, is being expanded into a concept of profanity, which is, I'm simplifying, but it's really anything the FCC deems to be offensive, whether or not it relates to sex or excretion. It has to have some connection, but it does not have to be descriptive. So the way in which it arose was in the Golden Globes case, which the Bono came out and said this was a fucking brilliant award. And the debate that then ensued was whether or not the F word in that context was descriptive of a sexual act. And the commission said, we think it is, but in case we're wrong, we're going to come up with this new concept of profanity, which doesn't even require this element of descriptiveness. It just has to be offensive. So I think of it in terms of sort of waves of expansion from a very simple, highly focused definition to a much broader one to a broader one still.
So although it's not likely to happen, they could conceivably consider half of a speech George Bush on foreign policy profane.
There has to be, no, I don't think so. The commission backtracked a little bit from that to make it clear that there had to still be, while it didn't necessarily have to be graphically descriptive, there had to be, the language had to in some way refer to sexual or excretory activities. So, for example, maybe it's relevant to your previous committee, it made it clear that racial slurs would not be considered profane.
But we know that.
And blasphemy would not be considered profane.
Okay, Ray.
I strongly support the spirit of Bob's motion. I'm sorry?
I was just responding to Sarah, who was asking to be on the stack. Go ahead.
Okay, I strongly support the spirit of Bob's motion that we remember what this is about, who we are, and as our attorney just said, that this didn't just happen that FCC is doing it. It happened in a reactionary regime which would not consider tens of thousands of people dying, being slaughtered in Iraq as obscene, but for so-called follow the word as being so. So while we're worrying about implementation of those directives, and I agree that we shouldn't throw our money away, and that we should have articulate way of communicating that don't necessarily refer necessarily to the language. However, I do strongly support that while we educating ourselves and then putting good structures in place, that we also fight for the right to express ourselves, you know, very strongly, but in the reality that we're questioning. That being said, I want to clarify something. When you say it is too late because there's a time limit or because the case that I brought are specifically referring to visual incidents such as the Janet Jackson case, so therefore we couldn't join in?
Really both. The time has passed for filing briefs in those particular appeals. And in fact, the courts are expected to rule on those appeals within the next month or so. So it would be too late to file, try to intervene in those cases, and it would have been difficult because those cases relate to television.
So I have a quick follow-up. I mean, I know this is a decision for the board, most likely, but would you consider it as the next logical step for us to initiate the next intervention in front of the court, where we would not wait for somebody else to accidentally bring it, but we would actively seek some kind of resolution on the level of the courts?
We can't go directly to the court until the FCC has taken some action that harms us. And that harm can be direct in the form of a, you know, fine against Pacifica, or it can be indirect in the form of a ruling that, you know, we can argue will affect Pacifica. But we have to wait for another ruling to do that. And the FCC right now is not ruling on indecency cases. It, too, is waiting for the courts to rule. But as soon as those courts rule, you will probably have a new opportunity.
Thank you.
Put me on the stack, Dave, please.
Hey, how much time do we have, Wendy?
Oh, thank you. We have actually, I missed the 10-minute, we only have about 4 minutes left.
Bob?
Okay. I would be willing to amend this motion to put in the phrase at an appropriate time. It says the executive director shall arrange for Pacifica to file an amicus brief and or other form of intervention at an appropriate time. But I have another question for John, which is after the court rules and you said the FCC will then act, so then couldn't we pretty quickly at that point, wouldn't it be within the proper procedures for us to file some statement with the FCC as to our opinion as to how they should deal with the court, whatever the court decides?
It's possible. The court decides to send these cases back to the court can decide a couple of things. It could just decide that the FCC is wrong and reverse it in these cases. The issue in Janet Jackson, for example, affects everyone. It's the issue you face all the time about whether some accident or isolated violation or unintentional violation of the indecency rules is nonetheless going to result in a huge fine for you. As soon as the court rules on that, you're likely to have an opportunity, if it's remanded back to the FCC, to get involved. Because if the court finds the FCC was irrational in its decision, it will remand the case back to the FCC. And the FCC, when that's happened before, has sometimes invited further comment. And in the period I mentioned before, the period from 1987 to the 90s, Pacifica took every opportunity available to comment and try to shape the indecency rules.
Okay, and just my other question then is, are there other methods for us to make our voice heard? Because the goal, I think, that a lot of people have expressed is that we need to be heard as a foundation the way we were in the 70s and 80s on this issue by the public, as well as by the FCC and the courts. Obviously, it's important to try to directly influence their policies and rulings, but it's also important to make sure the public knows where we stand and how seriously restrictive and and unconstitutional a lot of their decisions are. So are there of course we could issue a press release, but also is there the possibility that whichever party loses in this current court case would appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, and then we could enter at that point?
It's possible that we could file an amicus. We could certainly file an amicus brief if this goes to the Supreme Court. We would have difficulty in actually intervening and becoming a party because we haven't participated in the case below. We haven't been a party below. But we have filed. In fact, it's one of my favorite stories about Jack O'Dell. There was a case involving telephone indecency, and I told Jack, "This is not immediately relevant to you because it's not a broadcast medium. But we're going to pro bono prepare a brief for you for the Supreme Court." Mm-hmm. And Jack said, "Of course you are. That's not law. That's religion."
I just want to clarify, Rob, are you making a motion? Isn't the proper thing just to ask our attorney to notify us of those opportunities?
Well, that's one way we could handle it, but I think just passing this motion tonight would begin to send a message to the community that we intend to be aggressive in challenging this, even if this particular moment is not the right moment, that we'll be on the case.
So what is the text of your amendment?
My amendment would be...
a substitute.
Well, it's not... Yeah, I guess you could call it a substitute. Just after the words, the executive director shall arrange, insert the phrase, at the appropriate time.
All right. Okay, can you read it? Is there a second to the amendment?
Upon information.
Yeah, hang on. So I'll recognize you in just a second. Is there a second to the amendment?
Second, this is Lydia.
Okay. Go ahead, sir, of your point of information. You were next on the stack, but you can go ahead.
Yeah. I'm going to ask John Sigler here. Is there a possibility there are two levels we can engage at. We can engage at policy level before the FCC makes such kind of a changes in its definitions of things. And how can we get there? Is that through congressional delegations there? And the second thing is, do you know any other radio station that has been issued? I guess you said you don't have any other litigation at the radio level. There are two pending at the television level. Is that right?
That's right. The pending cases are all television.
Okay. Is there a way we can say that the executive director shall? What was Bob? What was that? Could you read that again?
The entire motion.
Just the first part that you changed a little bit.
Okay. Resolved that the executive director shall arrange at the appropriate time for Pacifica to file an amicus brief and or other form of intervention with parties that are challenging the FCC's indecency and or profanity policies, in which Pacifica would also challenge the arbitrary and unduly restrictive nature of FCC policy and rulings on these matters.
And then also inform somewhere, is it possible to inform the Pacifica National Board about these things before filing?
Yeah, we could add that. I think that would be pretty basic, pretty implicit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Could you do that? Is it possible? Let's see.
Okay, there's a motion to amend it by adding that the PNB shall be notified of any such filing.
Prior to filing.
Prior to filing?
Yeah.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Is there any objection to that, or may we just adopt it?
Do I still get to talk at some point?
Yes.
I'll wait till after you pass it if you want.
I'm just asking, is there any objection? If there's no objection, we adopt Sarv's amendment to Bob's amendment. Go ahead, Wendy.
Well, we're out of time, so I would move to extend 15 minutes. We have a rare opportunity that we have John on the phone, and we can talk to him.
Wendy, John is also going to be on the phone in an executive session where we have additional issues we need to deal with him on that, so... If this is just
Well, then I'll just extend for 1 minute so I can talk.
Is there any objection to that?
For 1 minute? No objection to 1 minute.
Bit of information.
Is this for the whole item? Don't we have to extend for the other two motions?
At time, we will vote it.
I have a point of information, Mary Bird.
Go ahead. What's your point of information?
I got notified of P&B, but I didn't get the exact language. Who is... are we saying, is that a new sentence at the end, that the executive director or who will notify, shall notify the P&B of such filings, or what is the exact
prior to filing?
So the ED shall notify the P&B prior to filing?
Prior to filing.
I'm sorry?
Prior to such filing.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, I add that as a sentence. Okay.
Go ahead, Wendy.
I thank you so much, John, for being here, and I'm going to sort of just offer a, I don't know if it's really prudent for us to craft motions with our attorney on the phone. It's so awesome that he's here, and so I'm just going to, you know, it seems like it'd be good to just get the information and then do it without him. But anyway, here we are, and I just want to remind the board that I love having Pacifica's name on these cases, and just say that we lose them half as much as we win them, and even when we win them, they're often reversed. So, you know, in challenging the Carlin case, we set the law for everybody else, that everybody else had to follow. Maybe if we would have taken the fine, that wouldn't have actually been a law. You know, I don't really know about all that, but like in reference to the jerker, because I was looking up this, John, we've been talking about having a policy of Pacifica not having a safe harbor at all, and so I started looking into the safe harbor thing, and you know, I saw the jerker case and how, you know, we would win it and then it would be reversed, and so I just wanted to remind the board that I'm totally in favor of challenging this, but I think that we need to do it with, I mean, we're talking about radio now. Yay, we're talking about radio now. We're not dicking around with each other or anything, and I wanted to ask John, can you say dicking around on the radio?
Actually, there's a ruling on Dick, and everything you wanted to know, the FCC is in. They found it was okay.
That's so weird.
So that's okay.
And you can say pissed off, but not pissed off.
No, she doesn't have the Richard around anymore.
And you can't say tits still, right?
That's right. One of the seven.
But you can say pissed off, but not pissed on.
You can say pissed off, but not pissed.
Oh my God! and you can say, and as Mary said, you can say dick, but not tit.
Yeah, right. How sexist
That's right.
is that?
Okay.
So anyway, I really appreciate, you know, John, when you came to Houston, and I think you went to all the signal areas. I'm kind of surprised now that some stations say that they didn't get any training, but I hope that we can participate that in the future and carefully consider what we want to challenge and do it as a strong network and a coalition of everybody. It's great. Thank you for talking about radio.
Sure.
We're going to move to a vote on the pending questions. The first item is Bob's
Good work, Wendy.
Amendment to his original motion. Is there any objection to Bob's amendment?
No. My amendment. Second amendment.
Is there any objection to the motion as amended?
Yeah. No.
Hearing none, that's adopted. Okay, that concludes our business for the public session. I'd like to reconvene an executive session in 10 minutes. On the executive session.
Wow.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks.